All right, everyone, welcome to another edition of RF Sports Radio. I'm your host, RF, joined by the other RF to this side, I guess, right here. That's Royce Fisher. Royce, how you doing, man?
Right, I'm great, man. Weather's starting to change. October's coming around for baseball. Football season in the fourth week. NBA is getting ready to start training camp. Man, this is the best time of the year.
No kidding. This is, like you said, this is the best time of the year.
Right, it's all coming together, man. It's like a, I'll fit in right perfectly.
Right, the weather's changing, all that stuff, man. And today I got my celebratory wine today. I don't know if you guys can see that. You know, I'm having a pretty good week.
You're probably going to need it by the end of the conversation.
Yeah, probably so. You're probably right about that. Well, let's jump right into it, man. We got a lot to discuss today, man. I want to start off, first of all, with a little bit of NFL talk. Let's talk about, let me get this off my chest first. Let's go to Monday night, all right? Let's just go ahead and go to Monday night. Yeah, I know I'm going to talk about the Cowboys. I know you're going to have something to say about the Cowboys. So I want to find out from you your overall thoughts on what the Cowboys did to the Eagles on Monday night. I mean, that was probably the most complete game, for a fact, that I've seen out of the McCarthy-led Cowboys, or even for Dak, for the instance. The defense, the way they played, the way the offense played, it was kind of a perfect match all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, you know, they played a great game. I got to give it to them. Everything clicked. Defense, what, four turnovers? Yeah, four turnovers. That was on them. They scored 40 points last time they did that. But they played Jalen Hurts, a rookie quarterback.
He's not a rookie. He's not a rookie quarterback. Don't say he's a rookie. Second-year player, he is a starter.
He played a little bit last year. Not much. He didn't play the whole season. Yeah. He hadn't been a starter, you know. And he wasn't even starting quarterback. So – he's a little nervous. I think the Dallas will take care of business. No big deal. They played great. They've been playing great the last 3 weeks. They should have been 3-0. But they left too much time on the clock to break. It should have been 3-0. I like the way they're playing. It's a different Cowboy team. I like the new guys, man, on defense, offense, Lamb, man, those guys. Diggs, man, you know. They just need to get everybody healthy and everybody stay healthy.
Right.
Dak did look a little timid. A couple of times he could have ran the ball in for a touchdown when they got down and didn't score. Right. But other than that, I think he settled down. He was perfect, man. I think he missed three passes all night.
I think that really speaks a lot more towards his elevation as a quarterback. Now, if you think about it, when Dak came in, he was kind of thrown into that starting role when Romo got hurt. He never had a chance to kind of really sit and watch football from the sidelines like he did this past season with the injury, of course. And I think that's really helped him kind of see the game in a different way. And I can tell he's maturing as a player. I can tell he's getting better. Like I told everybody in previous shows in our season opener show for the NFL, I said I thought for sure I'm not worried about the offense at all. And what I like about the offense, what I didn't think about, is this two-headed monster at running back that we have with Ezekiel Elliott and my other guys were too. I mean, the fact that they're able to kind of
– at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. They're able to kind of give them the 1-2 punch, a different style of running, and that's paying off big dividends. I like that they're running the ball more. Of course, we got a great wide receiver core. Defense is what I was really worried about. And this shift from Micah Parsons to go from middle linebacker where he's drafted at to now playing the DN because Lawrence is out. He's one of those guys, I think, Royce, we can finally say we have a player that we need to make sure is on the field on the defensive side of the ball. No matter where you put him, linebacker, middle linebacker, DN, wherever you need to put him at, he's one of those guys I think you have to have him on the field as much as possible. Would you agree?
Yeah, he's not like Yvonne Vandermeer, stay hurt all the time.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Right, he's quicker. Oakley's dependable, too. I like him a lot. Big, you know, you got to give him some credit, too. He's playing great. You know, that's in his DNA. His brother's great, you know. So, but I like what I'm seeing, but I'm not going to get too anxious because I know how the Cowboys are, man. They get to that pivotal moment, man, and let you down, you know. I know they'll do better than 8-8. They should win the East, but I'm waiting. I'm gonna wait till the end. I wear a Cowboy shirt.
All right, that's a bet. Well, I'm gonna keep my thoughts reserved as well. Y'all know I get real worked up about the Cowboys. I'm not gonna do that this year.
Yeah.
I can't say it again.
Our Cowboy fans get worked up every year.
Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. But I'm not going to do that this year yet because in the years past, I've worked myself up and we've always had a big letdown in the end, whether it's in the playoffs, whether that's not making the playoffs, somebody getting hurt. So it's a long season. This is the longest NFL season I've ever seen with this added game that they have. So I am not going to get overexcited, but I like what I see. And then we're going to take this one game at a time. But you're right. Honestly, they're really a field goal away from being 3-0, you know, and looking forward to next week a little bit, getting into the NFL as a whole. They play a 3-0 team next week, next Sunday. They play the Carolina Panthers, who surprisingly are 3-0 as well, too. So although they don't have J.C. Horn on defense, they're going to be missing McCaffrey as well. So it should be a winnable game for the Cowboys, another home game, but it's still a 3-0 team. So we're going to kind of see where they stand this Sunday as well, too.
Right. And, you know, a lot of the good teams like Seattle, you know, Packers, the Vikings, all those guys getting off to a slow start, you know. All those teams going to pick up midpoint, you know. And, you know Seattle's not going to stay the way they are. Eventually, they're going to start.
Well, you don't know that. You don't know that.
And we don't know. And we do have surprises, 3-0 team. Are they the real deal? Carolina Panthers are 3-0.
Hey, the Carolina Panthers are 3-0.
The Denver Broncos are 3-0.
Yeah, and I told you I had them pick to be finish up very well in their division. I didn't have them win in their division because I thought the Chiefs would win that division, but I had them finishing second. You had them finishing last.
I didn't know who the quarterback was going to be.
Have you seen him play?
Yeah, I saw him play. I saw a highlight. I'm waiting to see him on TV. I saw a highlight. And I'm just shocked. I'm not going to get excited because Denver Broncos hadn't been very good for quite a long time. Von Miller's back. He's playing great. He had a couple of sacks Sunday. But, you know, are these teams legit? Are the Rams legit?
Yeah, the Rams are legit.
Carolina's legit.
You know? The Rams are legit. The Rams are probably, I would say, the best 3-0 team I've seen have been the Rams. They played a tougher schedule than most of the other teams. Like the Broncos, for instance, the Broncos have only beat the Giants, the Jaguars, and the Jets. I mean, they played three of the worst teams in the league, you know, combined. I don't think those teams have any wins.
That's the game they lost last year. You know.
Yeah, of course. But they beat three teams that hadn't won a game. You know what I mean? Right. So they're probably the weakest 3-0 team, I think. And then for the Raiders being 3-0, I mean, they've been in overtime twice in three games, you know. So I don't know how much stock I put in them being 3-0.
Well, it's a different Raider team, I think. Chucky has finally got on to something. Maybe the move to Las Vegas did something. It's a different Raiders team. You know, they look pretty good. They got Carr. If Carr can stay healthy, that's right. But, you know, I don't put 100% stock in him because he's one of those letdown quarterbacks, too.
Your Broncos got the Ravens this Sunday. Right. So we're going to find out kind of what they can do.
They beat Kansas City.
Say again.
And what about the Ravens? They beat Kansas City. And it's Kansas City as bad as they are.
You know. Well, I was going to ask you about this. Some of your other surprises you've seen around the league, you already alluded to Kansas City being at 1-2. I mean, we've never seen Mahomes lose two straight games since he's been the quarterback of Kansas City. I don't think Andy Reid has lost two straight games since he's been the coach of Kansas City. So this is new territory for them. I mean, for a team to try to come back and bounce back from a devastating Super Bowl loss, this high-flying team, now they're faced with a lot of adversity now. I mean, what do you think? What do you think is going on in Kansas City right now?
I think they just it may be hangover from going to back-to-back Super Bowls. You know, they lost. You know, I think the offensive line is still shaking. We saw that in the Super Bowl. And Mahomes, he's been pressured a lot. I don't think it's good, you know, should be. Maybe they get better. But Andy Reid's a smart man. He'll come up with something. He's like, yeah. Belichick. They'll make the adjustment, and they'll come through. But, Arizona Cardinals, I like that team. They're good. But, they're 3-0.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers is a big surprise in the NFC to me.
Carolina is.
I knew the Cowboys were going to be good. I know they were going to be better than 8-8. The NFC East is theirs for the taking. All they got to do is grab it right.
Yeah.
Just beat everybody in your division. Just beat
everybody. It sounds good.
Yeah.
It sounds easy.
So good. They already beat Philly. The Giants don't scare anybody. You should win it, hands down.
It sounds good. Like I said, it sounds good. But I'm not going to get overhyped. I promised myself this season I wasn't going to get overhyped.
The Giants couldn't even win a game for Eli Manning, man. His retirement. Come on. You think they're going to win a game?
I don't have a doubt we'll beat the Giants. I'm talking about everybody else. You know, my biggest surprise so far going into week four of the season is Kansas City being 1-2. That's a big surprise for me. Yeah. The other big surprise, as you mentioned, is some of the 3-0 teams. I'm surprised at where the Dallas defense is playing. And I'm also a little bit surprised by how good the Rams are. I mean, I think the Rams are legit with Matthew Stafford, that defense that they have. They're legit. I mean, there's no doubt about it. They're going to be right there along with Tampa Bay, along with Dallas, along with Green Bay. They've got to be right there in that conversation with the top teams in the NFC.
Matthew Stafford has been a great quarterback on a bad team. He's always had great numbers. He's always been a great quarterback. I don't know how many times he's brought Detroit back, you know, when they didn't have nobody. And him on that LA team, oh, man, they're going to be dangerous. I think they're the best in the world. They're going to.
I don't know if you've seen some of the talk been going around on some of the other shows and stuff about, you know, if you would have switched Stafford and Aaron Rodgers, you know, early in their career, if Stafford would have went to Green Bay or Aaron would have went to Detroit, that Stafford would have had more than one championship in Green Bay than Aaron Rodgers would have had. Do you buy into that at all?
That's a possibility.
Yeah, so those kind of questions you can't really answer. It's such a hypothetical. You don't know who's going to be injured, who's going to know who's going to be on the team.
You've never been on a good team, then Detroit Lions just come on, Rodney.
Yeah.
Detroit Lions. They couldn't even do nothing with Barry Sanders.
Right.
The greatest running back of all time. They couldn't even get guys to block and play with him. He quit early.
Yeah.
Megatron left. So, you know, and Matthew Stafford, he stayed. He's a great quarterback. I'm glad he got a chance to play in L.A. And I think he deserves a championship. It came down to him, the Cowboys. I got to go with the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got a chance to get one now.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. Well, we got another week of football coming up, man. Some good, good games. I'm enjoying it. The Sunday night games have been good. The Monday night games have been good. I mean, it's been really a good start to the season, quite honestly, man. A really good start to the season.
Oh, yeah, and the WNBA final. So I forgot to add that too. I've been watching a little bit of that.
They got a real different kind of format too. I don't like the one and done playoff format that they have. I mean, they should get more games than that. The one and done thing is kind of interesting to me that they would do that.
With football and everything going on, they better be one and done.
Yeah, you're probably right. NBA starting as well. Yeah.
You get it over it, you know.
Well, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of NBA talk, man. Let's talk about the Mavericks, first of all. Mavericks had media day this week. We got a chance to attend that, of course, virtually. We had to attend that. Then we also got to see some interviews from practice. And first time we got a chance to hear from everybody, from Jason Kidd, from Luka, and particularly from KP. And just a quick plug, we're going to be doing, Royce and myself are going to be doing what we call Mavs Monday, where you guys can tune in every Monday. We'll be dropping content, giving you behind the scenes, stuff that we talk to players about, locker room stuff, stuff we hear from coaches, kind of an insider for the Dallas Mavericks every Monday on our channel. It's going to be called Mavs Monday. And we focused a little bit this past Monday on KP because I don't know about you. I haven't heard KP speak in a long time over the offseason. I haven't heard KP say anything about the coaching change. Any of that stuff. I haven't heard KP say much of anything. So I don't know if you saw that part of his interview, but what do you think about, you know, Porzingis going into this new season with this new head coach?
Well, I believe getting everybody a second chance. I think he came to Dallas, he thought he was going to be the man, and he ended up being second.
A decoy. He was a decoy.
Coach Carlisle didn't use him right, and he felt bad. You know, these basketball players, man, they got big egos. They're emotional guys. You know, they have feelings, you know, especially when you've been at the top of your game since a child. You know, your ego is big as I don't know what. And when you kind of end up in a disappointment, that's got to affect you pretty bad. You know, I've never been in that position. I played on teams and didn't get to play or start. Felt like I was better than this guy. I should have been starred. You know, stuff like that, it messed with your psyche. I'm glad to see him humble. I think going home, I think a new change in management, in the coaching, and I think Carlisle and him rubbed each other the wrong way.
Yeah.
And you could tell. They didn't utilize him right. I like what Kidd had to say. I believe in getting second chances. And he said he's been working on this game. He feels good. I think the ego or whatever was bothering him is kind of gone. And Carlisle's not there. And he feels like it's a new start. So I'm waiting to see. I mean, he has a skill set.
Right.
Yeah. So
what do you think about what he was saying about him and Kidd discussing him playing down on the block more, you know, his back to the basket and getting more post-ups? Because he said it, just like you said, when Carlisle's whole scheme was to put him out there so he could space the floor and shoot threes so Luka could drive the lane and dish. But him and Kidd have already discussed him playing with his back to the basket on the low block, using his size more, and then being more of a defensive player, which we talked about that all last year. Like, why would he not get down there at 7 foot, whatever?
I screamed all year for him to get down on the block. That was my criticism of Carlisle. I didn't like the way he did it. I said, man, you're 7 feet tall. You're the biggest guy on the floor. What are you doing way out on the three-point line? And remember I talked about him on fast break. Instead of him running down the middle of the lane like Giannis, some of these big men, he's out on the perimeter to shoot a three. That drove me nuts, man. So he's supposed to be down on the block. He's 7 foot.
Right.
You know, you're close to the basket. All you got to do is turn around and, you know, you're there.
Yeah, put his hand up and get dunk. Yeah.
Boban would dunk without even jumping.
Right.
He just turned around and put the ball in the basket. So he should develop his low post game. I would like to see him go to Houston and play practice with Olajuwon, you know, someone like that. So, you know, Tyson Chandler's there.
Yeah, that, I was going to say, yeah, a good buddy, Dwayne, wrote a story about Chandler coming in to either be a coach. He's got a choice to be a coach. He can sign a 10-day contract. But the whole goal was him to get in there and kind of work with not only him, but Boban and some of the other big men as well, too.
I think he'd be a big help in teaching him a low post game, you know. So, you know, we know he can rebound. We know he can shoot. You know, he get that low post game, man. Dallas going to be dangerous. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you 100%. I heard everything I wanted to hear. This particular media day felt a lot better than the previous year. I think we all were kind of tired of hearing Carlisle's same old situation. You know, he definitely wanted Luka to have the ball more, run the offense more, spread the guys out, which is fine. I mean, that style of play gave Luka the notoriety that he has right now, you know, so I can't say it was a bad decision because it did make Luka a superstar. But at the same time, the questionable things he did in the playoffs, towards the end of the season, the lineups, guys even said during the interview, I can't remember if it was KP, if it was Hardaway that said a lot of times they go into the game and wouldn't know who was the starting five. Didn't know who's going to start the game, who's going to come off the bench. We didn't know that till time for tip-off. So I hope that kid is listening to these guys. I hope he's working with them. I like the fact that he went to go visit Porzingis in his home country, went to Luka's home country, met the people, kind of build with those guys. I mean, kid is a locker room guy. You know, he's more used to the younger players. Even the GM was more used to the younger players. So I'm excited about that. I like Reggie Bullock coming in as well, too, as an addition. It felt good. That's all I'm going to say. It felt like this was a team that was better than it was last season just by the changes that they made in the front office. I don't know if that's right. I don't know if that's incorrect. But it just felt like it was a better team.
We'll see how they fit together and how they play. I think Benny Smith's going to be better. They still have Trey Burke, you know, which I was mad he didn't play him more in the playoffs last year. They do have some shooters. Can they get their defense better? That's the only thing I'm worried about. Their defense get better. We know Luka can ball.
Yeah.
So,
Then keep in mind, nobody really plays that much defense in the NBA anyway. We don't have any defense specialist guys.
They got to get better than they were.
Yeah, they got to get better than they were. I know we're going to get into a big preview about the NBA before the NBA starts and more specifically about the Mavs. We cover them this year, but I want to know initially, what are some of your expectations from this team? I mean, where do you think we should set the bar in terms of determining if it's a successful season for the Mavs in 2021-22?
If they make it out of the first round of the playoffs, that's an improvement.
Mm.
It's hard for me to see them going to the finals. I mean, the West is tough, man. I mean, come on, man. And we don't know what Golden State's going to be like this year.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Denver, Murray's going to be back in Denver. And you know they got to Jokic. So what's Phoenix going to be like?
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of chatter about Houston.
Yeah.
And San Antonio.
Well, I'm not really worried about Houston, really.
No, I'm not.
But you named some good teams.
They got some young guys. They got some young guys. Good guys.
You know, we're going to talk about the NBA as a whole, but my bar right now is they've got to make it to the Western Conference Finals.
Oh, no, bro. That's too
they've got to. I mean, you got to. You're not going to have.
Playing for the first time. And, you know, you got to see how they're going to jail. You know,
I'm setting the bar at the Western Conference Finals. I really am.
We are playing together, going through the grind, the up and down, getting defeated in the playoffs like Giannis did to learn how to win a championship game. They hadn't had none of that. They hadn't even had a season together.
But remember, KP and the two main components there, KP and Luka have both been to the playoffs twice. They've lost in the first round. They got to a game seven. They were up 2-1. They were up 3-2 over the Clippers. I mean, they should have won that series. They should have won that series. So I'm setting the bar at the Western Conference Finals. That's where I'm setting the bar. That I'm only speaking for today. It's still September. So I'm setting the bar at the Western Conference Finals.
Who is what, third, fourth coach? Starting from New York, Dallas, KP?
Yeah.
And Luka's on the second. Well, third coach, really. Coming from overseas, Carlisle, and now kid. So, you know, new coaching. I don't see him going to the finals this year. Maybe a year or two in. You
now, know, I'm not talking about the NBA finals. I'm just talking about the Western Conference finals.
The Western Conference finals, right? Look who you have to go to the win.
I know it.
You think they can beat the Lakers?
I think they can play the Lakers in the finals. I think they can beat Denver. I think they could be any other team.
Okay.
And any other team now.
And yeah, you haven't seen them play yet.
I haven't seen them play. You're right. So that's what I'm saying. This is September. I'm just saying in September, okay. That's why I'm setting the bar. Yeah. And once I see how they play and what happens in the league, I reserve the right to change my mind.
The 28th day of September, you say they're going to the Western Conference.
Say Western Conference Finals. That should be where we set the bar.
I'll be happy with the second round and a very tight 7-game second round series. That will make me upset.
Well, let's talk a little bit about NBA and Media Day. And I don't know if you watch any other Media Days. I saw the Warriors Media Day. I saw the Nets Media Day. I also saw the Lakers, of course. You know, you brought up, you reminded me of something that what was funny is all the coverage you've been seeing about the NBA and opening and media days, you didn't see anybody talking about the Phoenix Suns. Like, it's like the Phoenix Suns don't exist. And for what they did last year, the way they overachieved, you would think that would be a hot topic going into the NBA, but you can never find anybody talking about the Phoenix Suns. I mean, do they still don't, I guess they still don't get the respect that they deserve.
I didn't hear much chat about Atlanta either.
No, you didn't.
So, you know, the most focus was on the team that everybody thinks will be in the finals, the Lakers and the Nets.
Yeah.
You know, I think that got more publicity than everybody else. So, I didn't like the coverage. I think they should have went around the board. Should have been more coverage to everybody. I like to see, you know, Jamal Murray back in Denver. You know, Giannis. You know what's going on.
They didn't even talk about that much either.
Philadelphia, especially with everything's going on in Philadelphia, you know, and Kyrie Irving not in training camp. You know, I wanted to see it all. I wanted to go around the whole league. Zion, you know.
He's coming out for surgery. Hopefully he'll be ready. Two things I want to touch on before we get into our kind of our main topic we want to both discuss. I want to talk about Philadelphia real quick with Simmons. And I feel like I don't know who I blame more yet. Now, first of all, you know I'm not a Doc Rivers fan. So it's easy for me to blame Doc. I just don't think he's a great coach. But they mishandled this situation so bad. I mean, the way they treated him after their game 7, the press conferences, the stuff they said. They had this whole offseason to say what they've been saying over the last few days about they wanting to be here. They had a whole offseason to trade him, to find somebody to trade with him for. And yet here we are. He's not coming to training camp. It's getting uglier by the day.
I got to stop. Ben Simmons did that to himself. You make $40 million a year. You go play basketball.
You can't bring that up.
Rodney. You got to shoot the ball. You play basketball.
I agree.
He did not. He was scared to shoot the ball. You started out. The whole world started. He did it himself. But Doc Rivers didn't make him sign that big fat contract. He did it. You signed a contract. You obligated. Now, I'm not going to blame Doc Rivers for that. Because he had trouble before Doc Rivers got there. There was some rift between him. But yet he still signed that contract.
But don't you put some blame on the Sixers organization for not even trading them by now? They should have been and traded them already.
You need to man up and go back and say, this is not who I am. I'm this Ben Simmons, defensive player of the year. I'm not scared to shoot the ball. I go to the free throw line. This is what I got to the NBA. I'm not going to shy away from it and run away and hide. I don't want to play here because I'm mad. I go back there and ball out. Allen Iverson in Philadelphia, man, that he played with a heart. He didn't care. Yeah. You go out there and play. You got to show some heart. And how you going to sit at home and whine and that? But they don't like it. You go out there and prove yourself that you're one of the best players. And this is how I made it to the NBA. Nobody else does that. LeBron bounced back. Everybody bounced back.
So you said, so
from the injury, from disappointment, from all that, you got the back, you got the man up. I don't agree with nothing he's done. He signed that contract.
So you're saying, if you were advising Ben Simmons.
I make everybody regret everything they said. I go back and ball out.
So you would advise Ben Simmons to get up out of the bed,
yeah,
go to training camp tomorrow.
And shoot the ball. Shoot the ball. You saw it, I saw it. What do you think about his performance? Now, let's just be honest.
I don't agree with the way he played. I don't think he's a top tier player as they try to break him out of the beat.
I'm not blaming Doc Rivers. I'm blaming him. That's who I blame. That's it. He created this myth. So what?
It's one thing not to be a good shooter. It's one thing not to be a great shooter, but it's a whole other thing to not even shoot the ball. Like literally don't even take the shot. That's a whole other issue.
Charles Barkley, man. I mean, you had Philadelphia, man. Come on, Rodney. You didn't have no wussies in Philadelphia. You know? And like I said, Doc was not there when he signed that contract. He knew what he was doing when he signed that contract, man. They paid him a lot of money to play back, to shoot the ball, man. Shoot the ball. I go back and prove everybody wrong. That's what a man would do, man up.
Well, you heard it here first, man. I can't deny what you're saying.
Right.
I can't deny it.
LeBron James, his first finals, they knocked him down when he made the decision to go. You know what I mean? He came back. Dirk was the same. They beat Dirk up.
Yeah.
He manned up. You know what I mean? Allen Iverson, smallest guy to ever play the game. Played among trees. He said Kerry missed games. He was hurt. You know, Kevin Durant went out. He came back.
Yeah.
They were up 3-1. They lost. He went to the team. He said, well, I want to play with this team.
Yeah.
He manned up, went and played, and became MVP. I don't know who's in this era. They need to tell him to man up, man.
Yeah. I see what you say. I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you on that. Yeah. You know, in a more feel good kind of story, I tell you what, it felt great seeing Klay Thompson out there practicing with the team. That felt great to see him out there playing with the team. Now, I know he's not expected to actually playing a game until around December.
He's going to ball out, Rodney.
You think so? I mean, but the difference is he's coming off of two straight injuries, man, like back-to-back major injuries, man. I don't know if there's been a player that's done that like that. I mean, we've had, you know, Kobe come back from the Achilles. We've had Kevin Durant come back. We've had players that have come back from big injuries, but he's had two of them back-to-back.
But you didn't hear him feeling sorry for us, Jeff.
No, not at all.
He always said he's coming back. You know, this time he's going to take his time. I think he's going to ball out. He's got his other brother on the other side. You know what I mean? They just need a little more help. Draymond Green's going to.
But they got a lot of young players. They've had some top draft picks. They got James Wiseman, who didn't play all of last season. He's coming back as a big man. They got some new draft picks. I mean, they got young talent.
There, they have a decent team. But Draymond Green's going to push it, man. He's going to push it. You know, he's a motivator. He's a backbone. He's like the Magic Johnson of the Lakers. He's going to push it. I think they're going to be better. So,
let's jump into a big topic tonight, man. We're going to talk a little bit about the NBA and some of their protocols when it comes around the vaccine. And this all stems from some major challenges that two teams in particular are facing. That's the Warriors and the Brooklyn Nets. You know, the San Francisco's, the city of San Francisco has a executive order that says you have to be vaccinated in order to come indoors to anything, to participate in anything indoors, or to be indoors, you have to be vaccinated. Brooklyn also, and New York, of course, has the same mandate. So that, as you alluded to earlier, that's why Kyrie Irving is, he went to San Diego. He's in San Diego currently right now practicing with the team, but when they go back to Brooklyn next week, he won't be able to be with the team. You also have a situation right now with Andre Wiggins with the Warriors, where he can practice now, but come October 1st when the mandate or executive order comes into play, he can't continue to practice with the team or play in any games. So I'm curious, man. I really want to know what you think about this. I know how I feel, but I want to give you the floor first. When you see things like this talk, when you hear guys talking about it on press conferences, you see now they're going to be missing games. NBA ruled today that if you miss a game, you're not going to get paid. What do you make of Kyrie Irving and Wiggins?
This has bothered me for a while. I think people that don't do that are selfish. You know, if you play sports most of your life, you went to the doctor, you got hurt, you got injured, and the doctor writes you a prescription, you don't question it. You take the medicine to get better. And I don't understand that how you can be around, if you put the trust, think about your teammates. They're out there practicing with no mask on, you sitting over here with a mask on. You know what I mean? What kind of stuff is that? But like I say, football players get injured, they go to their doctor, staff doctor, he gives them a prescription, they take this dude to get better. It's to save your life. This is no joke, man. People are dying behind it. And, you have to follow the science. Like I said, I grew up in the 60s. We had, every year they lined us up. We had polio shot, diphtheria, measles, and the little sugar cubes, and we did it. I can't name one person I know had polio in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I had it. Even the measles.
Yeah.
I remember before we get the shot, the measles. But, I think they're being real savage. And it's a need. You're an athlete. I'm pretty sure you done had something in your body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. A pain medicine, this for the swelling, Take 2 of these 4 hours from now. And I never hear anybody say, I got to research that first. So I have a problem with that. And why would I need an airbag and a seatbelt and I got brakes?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And drive without your seatbelt. You're going to get a ticket. So to me, it's dumb. It's just dumb.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. I think it's selfish. And I think they shouldn't play. I got to have that scene to cover the mask to go anywhere.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was going to start my comments out with. I think it's very selfish, like you said. Everybody around the NBA, including me and you, to cover the mask, had to be vaccinated. The referees, the coaches, the front office, people that work in those buildings, the parking people, whoever works around the NBA has a mandate to be vaccinated. The players don't because they negotiated whatever with the Players Union Association or whatever the case may be. Right. So you have a little luxury there, but at the same time, I'm going to take two situations a little bit differently. First of all, with Kyrie, I don't know if you watch the show, but maybe some of your people do. I'm tired of it. I'm really tired of it, man. I don't know if you even want to play. If you should just retire, you don't want to play basketball.
Right.
You don't. Last year, you had these 2 weeks off to get your head together, get in a good mental space. You take time away from the team. You don't travel with the team. Now you're finding this whole thing to draw the line in the sand and say, I just won't play in any home games or whatever the case may be. Just retire. If that's how you feel, just retire. Just retire. Just leave. Just leave. That's all you have to do. With Wiggins, I understand he's got this whatever religious thing going on, believe. But, man, you got to make a decision. Yeah, if you don't want to play basketball, don't play basketball. If you want to play in a different city, play in a different city. But you cannot get on it. You cannot be a true teammate and not be able to play in home games. Like, you can't do that. I've never heard of anything like that in my life, where you decided, hey, I'm gonna be on this team, I'll ride with y'all, we'll go from start to finish together. But you know what? I'm gonna sit back on my own beliefs and say I'm not gonna do this, and if I don't play, I don't play. If I was in the locker room, if I was Steph Curry, if I was Klay Thompson, if I was Draymond Green, I'd be pissed. If I was Kevin Durant, if I was James Harden, I'd be pissed.
And you know,
I would go to front office and say, man, trade, get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
Get rid of him. It's not worth it.
And you know, missing games is like calling in sick at work. How many times can you call in sick at work? They're going to get tired of you calling in sick at work. And if you don't get the vaccine, you can't play. That's like they say, it's like calling in sick. We don't need you. If you're not here and reliable, they said the best, the dependability is availability.
Yeah, the best ability is availability.
Yeah.
The best ability is availability. You know,
get a check.
This is not some type of political statement. This is just the way things are. I mean, the mandate's coming. The mandate's going to happen whether you like it or not. Anybody has a large employee base, you work for a large employer, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So you got to make your own choices, your own decision. But if that's your decision, then you need to get out. You need to get off the team. You need to retire. That's just the bottom line.
What's the alternative? Death, if you don't get it, right?
Well, it could be. But I'm just saying, some of these guys, their whole reason, like Bradley Beal's reasoning for not doing this, because he had it before. He's got the antibodies. Well, I got news for you, Brad. Antibodies don't last, my friend.
Antibodies don't last.
You can get the flu, recover from the flu, have antibodies for the flu, and then what happens the next season? You can get the flu again. That's how your body works.
I wish that I would go back and listen to Carl Anthony Towns talk about him not having his mother there, him going through COVID himself. And if that don't make you change your mind, man, you're not human. Just go back and listen to him talk about, you know, losing his mother, him having it, you know, and how that affected him. And if you can't feel nothing after that, you're not human. That's all I gotta say.
I'm tired of it, man. Kyrie especially. Man. I'm tired of Kyrie.
He was in Cleveland, he was disrupted. He went to Boston. That was a disaster. Now he's making a mess in New Jersey. You know, Newark. I'm sorry.
In Brooklyn.
I mean, come on, Kyrie. You know, I knew something was wrong when he would say the world is flat. Every globe I've seen is round. They taught me that in school.
Well, like I said, be firm in your beliefs.
If
you're firm in your beliefs that that's what you believe, that's fine. But just take the steps according to your belief. If you believe that you want to get vaccinated, that the earth is flat, whatever it is, then just quit.
Yeah.
Just quit. Just move on. Do something else. There's other things you can probably do.
And you
basketball just may not be one of them.
You hear me, man? These are grown men. It's just a shot. You know what I mean? It's not like you ain't never had a shot. If you're a sports player, then a shot, cortisone in your knee, man, it's something, you know what I mean? And you don't question it.
Yeah.
They just get back up and play. The doctor writes you a script. I don't see anybody, you know, you may go, it's a new pill, you may go research it, but if you say, take every 4 hours, you'll feel much better. And usually you follow the doctor's instructions, take 4 hours, and you feel better. But this is a worldwide pandemic, man. Come on, this is not nothing to even discuss. It's killing people.
Yeah.
It's worldwide.
Yeah.
It's not just in Texas and Dallas and your area, your house. This is worldwide. You can get it anywhere. Anywhere. So that's my thoughts on that. I hope they don't get paid, don't give them a dime, hopefully checked out. And like I said, you can call in sick so many times that your employee would get tired of it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, that's going to wrap it up for the show tonight, man. Thank you again, Royce, for joining me on this, man. It's been a great show. We'll be back next week with a new show. We got a lot more to talk about, NBA, everything else we're going to talk about next week as well, too.
Okay. Good. I'm glad the weather's changing, man. I love this cool weather. And I'm ready for these worlds to collide. Baseball, WNBA, NBA. You know, I can't wait. I'm excited. Every day is, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing something, man. Yeah.
Well, we're only about 3 weeks away from NBA action, so it's really going to kick in for sure. Really going to kick in. All right, well, thank y'all for joining us tonight.
Mavericks Western Conference. Okay, I got it written down now. So make sure I did that.
Okay. All right, well, thank y'all for joining the show. We'll be back next week.